This podcast features three supposed adults who definitely use adult language. They're also supposedly writers who are definitely not procrastinating by making this podcast. Listener discretion is advised. To No Bad Ideas, the storytelling game show where we take the worst ideas from the internet and try to turn them into stories that are actually good.
My name is Gabriel Urbina. I am your first Bad Ideas host.
My name is Sarah Shackett. I'm your second Bad Ideas host.
And my name is Zach Valenti, your third Bad Ideas host. And holy shit, we're here for a bonus episode this week because
that's right.
Y'all
yeah.
have blown us away.
Holy shit.
If you are listening to this episode of No Bad Ideas, it is because we have reached $2,500 in the Kickstarter campaign that we're currently doing to raise money for our new audio fiction show, Unseen.
So if you're responsible for this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alternatively, if that did not happen and you are listening to this, how did you get your hands on this footage?
Get your hands out of my hard drives.
But chances are that this is going live because we're a quarter of the way to our goal of $10,000,
which is very cool.
Unbelievable. Just like completely unreal. So thank you all. And
yes,
in order to celebrate, in order to mark this
properly,
auspicious occasion,
in honor of the Kickstarter of it all.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, we wanted to do something thematically appropriate. So we're doing a special bonus Bad Ideas episode that is entirely about, questionable Kickstarters.
You know, there are some great Kickstarter projects out there. We think Unseen is one of them, but there are also some swings and misses.
Yeah, some iffy ones here and there.
You have the first one, I believe, right, Gabriel?
Oh, do I? I found an article that kind of like, it was like an embarrassment of riches. It was just mm-hmm. like, how can I decide between these? So I'm going to tell you about a couple of them before we reach the one that I think is a real bad idea.
Excellent. Is the goal to turn it into a good story as we normally do here on No Bad Ideas, or to try and make it a successful product?
No, I think that it's kind of like the way that Pirates of the Caribbean was a theme ride. And then at some point someone had to turn it into a good story. Let's try to turn
the
concepts of these Kickstarters into good stories.
Excellent.
So this first bad idea comes to us courtesy of an article from Business Insider. Dear mm-hmm. listeners, if you would like to read along, link will be in the episode description. And the Business Insider articles, the headline is "The Worst Kickstarter Projects of All Time, According to Two Podcasters Who Call Out the Most Egregious."
Oh, lovely.
So there are these two podcasts who are just completely dedicated to discussing Kickstarters. They have a podcast called Your Kickstarter Sucks. Their names are Jesse Farrar and Mike Hale. This article is a little bit like the Reader's Digest version of that. It contains mm-hmm. some of the greatest hits.
That's amazing.
Things like, for example, the Licky Brush, a tool designed to
I don't
help
like
you.
That word.
It's a tool designed to help you lick your cat.
Oh, God. Does it take hair off the cat? Is it like one of those gloves, but for your tongue?
No, Zach, don't be. I was about to say, don't be silly, and then you said exactly what it is. It is like a rubber glove for your tongue so that you can lick your cat without getting hairballs.
Is it
terrible that I sort of wish I knew this existed when Tiffy was still alive?
No. There is the meme restaurant that would offer the Tide Pod shakes, the hot covfefe, and burgers named after Harambe.
Oh no.
Both of these, by the way, I'm sorry, the cafe, not successful, I don't think. The Licky Brush raised $52,000.
Of course it did.
So
cool.
Very,
cool.
Very successful.
It's a niche product. It's people infected with toxoplasmosis who love their cats and have credit cards that won't get declined.
But the one that made me go, ooh, that this is a bad idea.
Uh-huh.
$50,000 goal. $84,000 raised. It blasted right past its goal.
Whoa.
A high-tech indoor drone meant to protect your home.
Oh, no.
I saw when it was, I think I saw something like it when it was live, and it seemed very dangerous. Please go on.
So the description reads, the description in the article, not in the original Kickstarter, reads, the Air is essentially meant to function like a home security smart device, such as an Amazon Echo or Google Nest, but with a turbine attached that ostensibly allows it to patrol multiple rooms in a house.
Oh my God.
Because that's what you need your creepy AI to have. Mobility.
Yeah.
One of the two hosts of the podcast, Farrar, said, because of the fact that it was the size of a mini fridge, which, by the way, it's the size of a mini fridge.
Oh my God!
I just kept picturing the battery going out and it falling on my kid's head, which I think is just like one of many possible like things that could go wrong.
Also, can you imagine having pets and also this thing?
Not coexisting. I can't imagine they're both at the same time.
Not for long.
The project raised $84,000 on Kickstarter before its creators mysteriously pulled the campaign and reimbursed backers in late 2017. Its creators said they were considering several unexpected business opportunities that came up since they began the Kickstarter, probably working for Blackwater. The project creators did not respond to a request for comment. So, indoor smart security system that flies, but is the size of a mini fridge. That's what I've got for you.
Oh boy.
Wow.
Put 5 minutes on that clock.
Yeah, 5 minutes on the clock. The clock is running.
So that's definitely not the one I saw. The one I saw was a much smaller, like, handheld sort of situation.
Which would be more reasonable.
Yeah, and less deadly.
This belongs in an apartment that someone, like, the nerdiest dude at DARPA has.
Uh-huh.
Which is all the reject army toys.
Right.
That are just, like, too destructive or dysfunctional to use, but, like, just functional enough. So I don't know if it's a home invasion where, like, some kids break into this house and it's full of, like, C-plus techno gear, or if it's, like, more of a character piece about this guy, but like that's where my head went to. It was just like failed inventions.
I mean, to get self-referential for a moment, this thing raised $84,000. You know, at least 30,000 of those dollars were Daniel Jacoby.
That's hilarious. For sure.
Like, you know, like the Jacoby Maxwell like household, just kind of like, it's an unnecessarily smart weapon. Yes, let's do it.
My question is, how smart is the drone in our adaptation? Like, is it self-conscious or is it just, a dangerous tool? Because I think that would change the direction of the DARPA rejected toys house. Because there's the world where, like, he gets laid off and has to move into a, like, crummy, tiny studio apartment in New York and, like... Mm-hmm. Now has like a Ted style roommate in the form of this clunky drone, or it's like, yeah, more of a like a set piece.
I would say, like, I'm kind of feeling this around a like HAL 9000 level of intelligence.
Okay.
Kind of like smart enough to make choices, but not smart enough to kind of be able to just be like, hey, let's have a conversation about this piece of music or something.
Right. And it has no interest in being your friend. And if attacked, will aim to kill.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Ooh. What if, like, this is a thing in someone's home and, like, you have to program who's friendly and who's not? And then either, like, the couple breaks up or the kid, as a prank, changes the programming? So that suddenly someone in the home is considered an invader. And then, like, you have the most annoying icebox ever while you're trying to get work done or get dressed or make coffee.
No, hang on. How's this for a pitch? This is a guy. He needs money. So he volunteers to be the human subject in a, like, trial for this new product. And so they set him up in a house with this thing, and they're just like, we just need you to be here and just kind of know that we're going to send some things to try to break into your house, and we just need to see how this thing deals with it.
How this thing does, yeah.
And the guy is kind of expecting, you know, like, oh, you know, some guys in like hazmat suits are going to like show up, and it's going to be very cute, and it's going to throw them like some rubber pellets or something. But like that first night, someone like shows up in like a ski mask, and this thing straight up murders him. And he's just like, holy fuck.
What do I do? Yeah.
The experiment? Is this like an actual guy that was trying to break in? Either way, he's very dead now.
I've got it. So on Netflix, last year discovered the cheesiest graphicked reality show involving the zaniest and frankly most paranoid ultra rich building their like fucking prepper bunker messes.
Oh dear.
And one thing that they do with these prepper bunker messes is hire people to come in and evaluate and do like simulation runs.
Oh,
like White Hat, use it. Security. Yeah. Right.
And so I'm imagining that like that happens, and it's like he's really excited this year because he just got the fucking helicopter 5000 and you know, the most intelligent, most dangerous drone available to consumers. And it all goes horribly wrong.
Of course it does. I love it.
How much time do we have?
Oh, you know, a cool 23 seconds.
Oh, Jesus.
Great. What's it called?
Not Home Alone.
Ooh, oh. I love it. Don't you dare change it. That's it.
That's it.
That's what it is. Very quickly, does our hero live or not at the end?
Oh, fuck no.
No. The robot, very much not only kills him, but takes over his persona and makes the world a better place.
See, Zach, I thought that you were going to say like, oh no, the hero absolutely lives. As long as you consider the robot to be the hero.
The robot's the hero.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
No, that's the second act twist, is that we realize that we've bonded with the robot and we love him.
Right.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well done, you guys. You survived my flying mini fridge of death.
Amazing.
Wow.
I'm kind of curious to see what some other drone Kickstarter projects are. So let's go take a look at that and be right back for more bad ideas.
Hello there. It is I, Zach Valenti, breaking into the episode really quick with this brief message. Today's extra special episode of No Bad Ideas is brought to you by Unseen, the new audio fiction fantasy series by Long Story Short Productions. Yep, that's right. As you may have heard, Gabrielle, Sarah, and myself have been hard at work over the last several years creating a fiction universe that we've been dying to tell stories in, and Unseen is our first adventure into that world. We're fundraising to create season one of Unseen on Kickstarter right now. You can check out our rewards and stretch goals by going to www.unseen.show. If you're in a position to help fund this show, we hope you will. And if you're not, we hope you'll share it with folks who might like it. Once more, you can visit our Kickstarter page at www.unseen.show. All right, let's get back to more No Bad Ideas. Well, I could never see a drone again, and we're back with my terrible Kickstarter idea.
Yes.
Uh-huh. What have you got, Zach?
And it is, I think, unfortunately for the podcasting medium, best seen to understand the absolute badness, but I will do my best to describe it as I show you guys the video, and the link is in the description to The Clean Freak. And this is one of those, like, as somebody who uses Kickstarter and who particularly loves consumer electronics that solve a problem that you just didn't know you had, this is one of those solutions looking for a problem, I think.
I'm just reading the subheader here. Oh, dear.
An automatic toothbrush that cleans your teeth without you having to move your hand. For all of you carpal tunneled toothbrushers.
Why are they putting on gloves?
And the way that they solve this is by basically
Hang on, one second.
A
finish
full
it up, but don't have to play it.
The way they solve this is basically by making a full mouth mold. So if you can imagine the width of a flashlight attached to a mouth guard on a motor.
Christ.
I see. And now before Zach plays us a little bit of this video, which we'll do our best to describe to you at home, dear listeners, important to note, if right now you're going, who in the world needs this? Of a $25,000 gold, this thing has raised $170,000.
There are 1,319 backers.
That may,
so people
in
are
fact,
about this.
Yeah, people have decided
not survive
this is
their
what
next
they
toothbrush.
Want.
because you need to fill your entire mouth with this device. I give
you
the Clean Freak.
Oh my
gosh. Oh my God.
This is horrifying.
Okay, we are watching the video now,
yeah.
Dear listeners, and it is.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God.
It's basically the lazy person's dream of what a toothbrush could be.
Oh God. It's just like they're like cleaning coffee grinds off fake teeth, and it's the grossest thing I've ever seen.
It's pretty
It also
gross.
Assumes that everybody's mouth is the same shape.
Yeah.
It's a very aggressive product.
Yes, it is.
I'm sorry, dear listeners. I said that we would try to describe this. You really just need to watch this video.
Yeah,
it really
a
doesn't
bit
do
beyond
justice.
Belief.
But I just think, like, if you could picture just like the most dangerous looking vibrating sex toy that's designed for oral
Yeah, that has
hygiene.
Half of a donut on top of it.
With bristles.
Wow.
With bristles.
45
yeah.
degree angled bristles.
And
I give you...
join me forever in the Insomnia Club after that description, dear listeners.
Yeah.
None
no
of us ever
sleep
need to sleep
ever
again.
I give you 5 minutes on the clock to come up with a delightful story with our sweet clean freak.
Okay. So you're in New York. It's a like grimy, dirty, dark week. You have the slightly older cop played by Morgan Freeman, and he gets paired with this kind of rookie cop played by Brad Pitt. And they are tasked with finding the murderer that is causing a series of grim, grim, grim murders throughout the series of New York, all of which are carried out by this toothbrush.
Dentists.
The ADA
killer.
That's a little
bit like where I go. I'm just kind of like, you know, it's a horror movie. It's a horror procedural about, like, you know.
4 out of 5 dentists disapprove of this murderer.
4 out of 5 dentists have been killed by this murderer.
Right. No, this is someone who a dentist hurt a long time ago. Like, they didn't get their lollipop for being brave with the teeth cleaning.
Oh.
And they've just never forgotten.
So wait, so is that sort of like, you know, like they're investigating one dentist murder and they're like, who could it be? But then like another one drops dead and they start to be like, wait a minute, like they had a client in common. And so like they realize, but like they don't get in time to save the third one. But then, you know, they do get like the fourth one into protective custody. And it's like, you know, what's going to happen? And then, you know, slowly but surely more and more things like start to go wrong as it becomes clear that, like, you know, Kevin or whoever it is that has killed them is slowly making their way into like the jail where they will get their horrible revenge.
And it's just like, instead of the Freddy Krueger claws, there is this horrifying oral torture device.
No, then it's like the assault on Precinct 13, but just with this horrible tool. Like, it can drill through walls, it can cut through bars. Like, this device can now just like murderize people because the brushes move so quickly.
I hate this. Like, everything about this, like, I'm sorry, dear listeners. I know we've been trying to like do like a like more fulsome job than just being like it's 7 but with teeth. But like, this is kind of just very horrifying.
I mean, the other thing to do would be like to have someone come up with this idea and they're very proud of it, that they've solved a problem because they read in a business book that products should solve problems. Because it's a product no one has. And it's sort of a story of like the people around them trying to get them to let this go.
And just like their slow descent into obsession.
Yeah, and like maybe they get pulled out of it, maybe they don't, but like there's sort of that version of this if we don't want to remake Seven with teeth.
Yeah, which I don't.
I really don't.
Like that movie is hard enough to watch as it is. Okay, but no, but like I like the story about, you know, this like wannabe inventor somewhere in like Spokane or like a small city somewhere, like wants to, you know, make his mark and, you know, invent something and be rich overnight. And he comes up with this toothbrush.
This toothbrush that does everything for you. You don't even have to move your hand.
And is he like
hurtling towards the Wall-E future?
Is he like trying it on himself and loses like three teeth on like the early prototypes? Kind of like,
oh, he's definitely lost at least one tooth on the prototype.
I'm just sort of like, you know, kind of like, what is the friction that he's going up against? Kind of like, what is the sort of like immediate problem?
I think it's either like to get
common sense.
Well, yes, but like to get the dentists in town to adopt it. Like he needs 4 out of 5 dentists to sign off on
exactly.
it.
And one dentist hates him, so he's out. So he needs to persuade the other 4. Oh my God.
Yeah, there are exactly 5 dentists in this town. And so then it's like less about the product, which is stupid, and more about like.
Then it's House of Cards.
Wooing.
It's
yeah.
like the, you know, it's the like backdoor deals of how you get like these endorsements.
I like that. I like that.
In the 25 seconds you have left, what is it called?
It's got teeth.
Open wide.
Oh no.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
Wide open? Nah.
Laughing gas.
Mouth wide open would be a funny play on Eyes Wide Shut.
No, hang on. Like there's something about like no, I'm not gonna get there. Like there's not in time.
Well that's time.
But it got away from us.
God
it's probably
damn.
For the best.
I very much appreciate where you took this terrible, terrible product that I hope will not kill nearly as many people.
Yeah, that was horrifying,
and like,
Zach.
and to be clear, unlike the drone, which like does just sound like someone's like very sketchball idea that like should not exist, this is one of these like, look, if this thing does what it does and it works as well as it does and it does it for you, great. It just looks so terrifying to look at. It is so unsettling.
They also like picked shots where the camera is like right up against the model's mouth, and it is so unsettling. I cannot describe.
And they went to the trouble of not only building this product, but creating multiple 3D renderings and animations to demonstrate its efficacy.
Oh yeah,
lazy dental hygiene.
Good Kickstarter, bad everything else.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm gonna go floss and brush my teeth with my regular toothbrush. But let's come right back after that for one last bad idea Kickstarter.
Hey there, Zach Valenti jumping into the episode one last time with one more quick message, this time about the Innocence Project, a nonprofit that Gabrielle, Sarah, and I are really excited about and hope you'll consider contributing to. The Innocence Project works to exonerate the wrongly convicted through DNA testing and reform the criminal justice system to prevent future injustice. To learn more about the Innocence Project and to make a donation, visit innocenceproject.org.
All right, now that we have cleaned our teeth and our brains, and maybe we'll never sleep again.
No.
Let's use some of the time for one more bad Kickstarter idea. Guys, I kind of went in a slightly different direction.
Okay.
So there's Reddit came through because there is a subreddit called Our Shitty Kickstarters.
Oh, no.
And I found something that was just a delight. And it's not necessarily the Kickstarter itself. The Kickstarter is for a wallet called Wallor 2.0. That is just has like GPS technology in it. And like, if you scan your phone on a room, like there's an AR thing that like lets you know where the wallet is in case you've lost the wallet. Like it is an product. But it is a Kickstarter that has gone horribly wrong. And I want to read you the latest update that the creator of this Kickstarter posted to their backers, which then got posted to the Shitty Kickstarter subreddit. Because it is a work of art.
Okay.
So the title is Update 41, not there yet, but getting close. And
this
it
is for a wallet, you said?
This is for a wallet.
Okay.
It begins. Gentlemen. Before I begin my update, I'd like to give you two simple definitions. Fraud.
Oh no.
Wrongful or criminal deception intended to result in financial or personal gain.
If you have to ask.
Two, scam.
Oh God.
A dishonest scheme. A fraud.
I'm gonna start more conversations that way. Just like, you know, I like meet up with my girlfriend. Hey, Gabrielle, how was your day? Before we say anything else, let me get two definitions straight.
Yeah.
Fraud. Scam.
Well, the creator of this Kickstarter writes, I would gladly accept those terms from you if I would have in any way used your money for my personal gain. Unfortunately,
wow.
I have invoices, bank transfers, bank papers, and a lot of proofs of what I have done with all the money paid by backers. I can, again, gladly share all these details with you if you wouldn't be so full of hatred towards me now. So you can send whoever you want. Police, Interpol, lawyers, and this is in all caps, I have nothing to hide.
Oh my God!
Spoken like a man that is hiding very deeply.
Paragraph break for dramatic effect. I get it. I've been quiet in the past 2 months. Why? For several reasons. I'm frustrated because this PPE business is full of shit and it gave me a lot of headaches. So far, I'm tired of your threats. I got jail, death, lawsuit threats for me and my family.
Oh my God.
For many people so far, it is not a pleasant thing, but I accept all of them. I understand you and I continue. I would probably feel the same if I would be you. Grammar. So what the hell have I been doing in the past 2 months and why would any of you believe a damn word of what I'm saying? Question mark.
What journey has this man been going on?
It's Holy so unclear. Shit. In March, when I announced to you all about...
The worst year of his life, it sounds like.
Yeah. That deal with the Romanian government. Many of you called me delusional. I can share entire conversations I had with the government team, the contracts I had signed with them, the commission they were supposed to pay, the moment they said the contract is signed, and how they told us to go fuck ourselves the next day. Or you could do your own research and you could see how the chief of Unifarm Romania got a bribe of 700,000 euro in that week and is under investigation right now for that. I can share with you my conversations with Kickstarter, where I was begging them to hide my update from the public on that day just because I was afraid the deal would be lost because I pointed that update 5 hours earlier than they were supposed to sign the contract. End of post.
Where is this person based?
Sounds like Romania.
No, I think that like he had like a manufacturing deal with the government of Romania.
Yeah, that's what it seems to be. Oh, it is created by Wallor Wearables, which says...
Whoa, what a name.
Yeah, which says that it is based in China. But the creator name is someone named Dustin Hamilton. So I don't really know where all this right, person so is from.
I don't know why anyone would think that this, I'm going to say, probably chances are with that name, American gentleman operating out of China in his dealings with the Romanian government. Why anyone would think that this is a man that is trying to hide anything is beyond me.
Yes.
That is my first comment. My second comment is that I'm glad that this gentleman was able to like rebound after his sandwich idea didn't pan out. I'm glad that he was able to find a new enterprise. Yeah.
So yes, so this is a wallet is a fine thing to raise money for on Kickstarter, but this is something special. So I'm putting 5 minutes on this timer. Tell me what you would like to do with a Kickstarter gone horribly, horribly wrong.
Oh my God.
So as both of you know, I almost ended up in a similar situation with a Kickstarter that I backed that I think both of you sighed a great deal of relief when I got my money back because it was an electric skateboard.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Built by a father-son team. And to be clear, that is in Italy.
That is a sigh of relief, both in terms of like we want you to have your money, but also like we want
no,
to have
no,
all
it was
your
mostly
limbs
so that I yeah right right
intact.
So that I keep my brains inside my skull.
That's where we would like them. Yes, that,
we need where they're of most there, use, except to the birds of prey. the father-son team hit a huge problem getting like the batteries and chargers from China because the Chinese manufacturer like basically tried to get around import taxes, so they just like said the value was nothing, and then the Italian government got it and was like, well, look here, I think there's gold in them there lying bill of goods and just like wouldn't release their essential items and kept them tied up in bureaucracy. And of course like they suddenly had to engage a lawyer that they didn't have any money for because they didn't figure that into the thing. So like there's a world where this guy is totally above board and just like is dealing with the fate of life and the world. And I don't know.
Right.
Where
global
PPE
supply chains
came
got in completely fucked in 2020. Like,
right, right, right. But I think there's a funnier story in the like person who is like, I am not a scammer, proceeds to scam.
Yeah. Good Lord. I'm a little bit in shock. Like, and no, and like, I think that that is kind of like the logical step of kind of like you do like a Matchstick Men, the Sting kind of style comedy where someone is pulling some kind of scam and just kind of like needs to have like an active Kickstarter with like these many people following it in order for the scam to like go through, and kind of needs to keep him on for like 30 days and just kind of needs to come up with like increasingly elaborate lies in order to kind of keep you know, like people signed up to it. I don't know, but like I like that's just like I'm sorry, but like I don't care like what the rest of it is. That's an amazing start to a movie. Just kind of, you know, like two people walk into a room, they sit down on opposite ends of a table. One guy sits down his briefcase, like opens it. The other one goes, before we start, we need to clear up two definitions.
Yeah.
Number one, fraud.
Fraud.
Number two, scam. Like I would be like, I'm in. Like whatever the rest of this movie is, like, let's go. I am so ready for this. I think that's so good.
Yeah, I'm down for just like this is 90 minutes of someone high wires act trying to convince perhaps a representative from Kickstarter that they're legit.
Yeah. And there's kind of like a Glengarry Glen Ross kind of a situation here where they're like trying to kind of just like sell their way out of like a bad situation.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
What occurs to me is sort of like the excitement of the Italian job with the like filmable content of The Social Network. Just somebody is trying to do a heist, but it involves mostly talking and typing their way out of into credibility.
Right. I like that. And maybe like this is all like it's all structured around like when they get caught at the end of the movie. Mm-hmm. But like it's sort of like they start talking with a lawyer, and that is kind of how
right,
we see
and
most of the
it's
events.
It's a frame story. Yeah.
Right.
Like, how did how did we get in this situation?
And how is that, like, is that situation, like, somehow part of the scheme to get out of it? Like, is he maybe one step ahead?
Maybe not.
I think this guy is one step behind.
Okay.
It, like,
if he gets out, like, of it, it's because, like, the Romanian government comes and breaks him out.
Or, like, someone takes, like, a lot of pity on him. Like, you know, like, the judge is like, you seem, like, don't get me wrong, what you've done is awful and unlawful, but you kind of seem too incompetent to, like, steal anyone's money, actually.
Our strange made-up democracy's pity clause applies in this case.
Well, that's time. But the pity clause is not a bad name for something.
That's not bad at all, yeah. Whew. Oh my god.
God damn.
I think that's a Hall of Famer. Like, that's unbelievable. Jesus Christ, I'm still laughing.
I'm gonna be laughing about it, like, all night. It's just one of those, like, there's things that we can do and create as artists, and then there's just the stuff that appears sui generis.
That you can't make up.
Ay, ay, ay. Well, friends, thank you so much for listening, and thank you so much for making this episode possible. Like, this is here because of all your unbelievable support, and we hope that you'll keep sharing the campaign, pointing people towards it. We have some other great surprises and great rewards that are going to be launching.
Amazing cast members we're going to share with you. 100%. It's going to be good.
But until then, thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening. And we will see you again for a regularly scheduled episode real soon. This has been No Bad Ideas, produced by Gabrielle Urbina, Sarah Shackett, and Zach Valenti. Many thanks to our patrons for their partnership in making this show happen. And a special shout out to our Idealist members, Jennifer Schneider, Rena Sarame, and Rebecca Allen. Today's episode features music by State Shirt and Jazar from freemusicarchive.org. You can support the show at nobadideaspodcast.com/support. And if you love this show, please leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Thanks.